following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. The final day of June, I'll echo many sentiments. Where did it all go? We're heading into July, big 4th of July weekend. I know some of you are just going to work right on through and not even know it, but a lot of you are going to be able to take some time off and enjoy what's going on. We've got a lot to talk about on today's Doug and Daddy Show. In some capacities locally, the last, like about 5 o'clock yesterday, 4 to 5, 5:30, you got the information, you got the news that Cole Manhart, the loper that we've been talking about and so many positive things, and this isn't a negative against him, but he was cut yesterday, released by the Philadelphia Eagles. They signed a guy that wasn't even in football last year and released Cole. So we'll talk touch on that. Then Jim Holton steps down, accepts another job, I guess, as the head coach of the Tri-City Storm. So we have went through a ton of coaches here over the last 5-6 years. And so he's headed off to Canada, Major Junior League in Quebec. He will join us from his home. Coming up in our next segment, we'll talk with Coach Holton. Also, we like to give everybody a little time here on the show. And this year's six-man All-Star Game, which is Nebraska-Wyoming. They used to just have a Nebraska one, but it's not that way anymore. And Hildreth did a bang-up job. That was some good times, Hildreth boys, down there. But Nebraska, for the first time in the 4 years that they played this, won the game. And Dwayne Arndt was an assistant coach from Silver Lake. But he said, hey, talk to Joe Imus, Riverside. They had a heck of a year. He was the head coach, so he's going to join us. Siler Monroe, Silver Lake, Dalton Penny, Wilcox, Hildreth. There were some other kids that did some cool things. And we've talked about a variety of all-stars, so we're going to talk about that. Scotty Steinbrook, our Kearney High boys soccer coach, is going to chime in for a moment later on. Sometimes you're fortunate, Jimmy, and I turn to you on a variety of things, like we talked about yesterday, because you've worn so many hats. We're fortunate sometimes to have somebody locally that could be regional, national, and have just as much knowledge as some of the guys you're listening to. And I know, Scotty, he's been in Canada. He's went to a World Cup game. He went to watch the men last year. He's been following it. Big game tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that for our soccer fans coming up on the show today. Plus, we got baseball and a lot of other things to cover. So everything, hockey, tennis, soccer, baseball, football, it's all there.
Doug, I'm going to tell you right now, flat out, if we're talking soccer, you could take off randomly about anybody on the street, and they're going to know a little bit more about it than I am. So, I mean, yeah, you didn't try to hurt my feelings. You're kind of being, well, Jim, I talked to you a little bit about some things, but, you know, I just wanted to let you know I'm having another guy come in and kind of talk a little bit more soccer. That's a good idea. That was maybe one of the smartest things you've done in June.
Thank God, because I was running out of time.
Yes, you were.
But I want to bring something, and again, the big story, I think, is the Jim Holton. There's sometimes you just go, can you speak freely? Can you be frank? The show has gotten along all this time with the Storm. Jimmy, I don't know that there's any correlation, but there's been a lot of movement out there lately with Greg Shea leaving, Jim Holton leaving, whether any of it's connected or not, I don't know if that's the story or not out there. But maybe they're just like a football coach. They're not going to come out and flat out tell you if something wasn't right and they know something's going on and they're moving on. It's all a bright picture. But sometimes you connect the dots. And we'll talk with Coach Holton about that. His new job is and he told us this. He knew that if he signed on with the Storm, he probably going to have to move his family down here out of Canada. And you could tell he didn't really want to do that, even though he liked, as he said, loved. This is a great place for him. Many people believe he'll be back in the NHL. I don't know much about the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. He'll be with the Charlottetown Islanders as their head coach. All I do know is what he and the staff was able to do here the last couple of years was quite remarkable. And that is not a shot on Drew or Josh or the guys that came before him recently here. It seemed like they were starting to take some steps from the lowest point of the Storm, but it just took some time, and it came together this year. So we'll talk about that. But I want to talk about something you do know something about. Yeah. And Colin Cowherd talked about it this morning.
All right, let's go with it.
The Golden Nugget has the lines out for college football. They have the over-unders, and we've seen a few of those. And they also have, these are the official ones, the Vegas, the non-offshore, the not Bovada, not, you know, online stuff that you can't get to. Bovada you can, but there's other places that throw some things out there. And Colin Cowherd picked four schools, I think it was, this morning, and went with them. And he talked about them being major schools. Then when he talked about the Big Ten, he didn't include Nebraska being a major school. He talked five, and this is for down the road a little bit. But he has Penn State as a bigger aura than Nebraska. I suppose it depends what part of the country you're from. I think many of us can agree on the Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. Michigan State's only been good for a little while here. But he did not include Nebraska in those, but he did include them in his over-under. He liked Arkansas over, USC over, Notre Dame under, and Nebraska under. And the number is 8, Jim. And when's the last time? Well, it was Bill Callahan. But that's the only time Nebraska's been under the 8 win total for a number of years here. It was a couple years there. I've been trying to be a little guarded with when everybody says, oh, what do you think? You know, what do you think about Riley? You know, hey, what do you think the Huskers are going to do this year? And I, in a little bit of bated breath, kind of warn them. I say, you know what? And how many times have we asked our analysts, are we closer to 11-1 or 6-6? Not that Colin Cowherd is smarter than any of these guys, but he's got them under. He's got them under 8. I knew it would, we kind of thought it would be 8. I hate that. Give us the hook so that there's a winner and there's not a push. But I think 8 is right on. I think 8-4 could be right on for the Huskers this year, and that might be a good year.
Yeah, I think Iowa blocked a punt against Nebraska. And somebody can look up the score of the game, the final score of the game. But they blocked a punt, and I think they went up 17. And then Amir Abdullah said, hey, that's enough of this. And I think they went up 17 points after that blocked punt. And then Nebraska ended up winning the game. And I think people forget how fortunate we were also at Northwestern when their running back got hurt. You know, their running back was running all over us pretty – I mean, when I say all over us, he had over 100 yards at halftime. But he ran over us a little bit, and he got hurt. So, you know, those are two games that you look at this way. You know, now you got to look at the Minnesota game and thinking, hey, maybe that was a game that we could have won. And, you know, it looked like Michigan State, you know, we were one pass away from beating Michigan State. Boy, when I'm watching the game, I thought Michigan State had the best team by far, you know, that game. So that's where you're looking at why they have the over-under at 8. You know, Miami of Florida on the road is going to be a tough game to win. I think at Miami of Florida, anytime you go there on the road and play at Miami of Florida, no matter which team it is in the nation, that's going to be a tough game to win at Miami.
And the Storm have named a new coach. Okay, so, Jimmy, you can't tell me that the organization didn't know what was going on. You can't have a coach leave and 2 days later have a next guy in place. So here's the name that you can get used to, Bill McCault. the seventh head coach and general manager in franchise history, a forward in the NHL for five seasons that concluded in 2003, was at Michigan Tech, where he served as an assistant coach for the Huskies the last four seasons. He's another native of Canada, British Columbia. They were 29-10-2 last year, which was 15 wins better than the year before. Here's what owner Kirk Brooks says in the release. Bill comes highly recommended and has done a great job at Michigan Tech. We are excited to have a coach of his caliber in Kearney. We expect to build off the recent success we've had with a highly talented roster. And Muckholt says, I'm extremely excited with the opportunity to work for Kirk. They're telling me nothing here. It's the same thing that every coach would say. I'm not even going to continue to read that because it's just the same transition that any fill in the blank, put in the name. Muckholt coached many college players that went on to professional careers. Michigan Tech had a number one national ranking for the first time since 76 last year. Largest goal differential in Division I hockey, second in the country in goals against, so a very defensive team. Muckholt was the first head coach of the New Mexico Mustangs in the North American Hockey League. Was with the Valencia Flyers of the Western States Hockey League. Played at Michigan. Winning two national championships, was a first-team All-American and a Hobey Baker finalist as a senior in 1998, draft pick of the Vancouver Canucks, made the roster right out of college, solid his rookie season, played for the Islanders, the Senators, and the Wild, and so he will come on and take on the Tri-City Storm, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with Chris on tomorrow's show. So I want to get back to that college football line a little bit later on because one of the biggest, this is a CBS Sports story here. They did a nice job about in Vegas, Golden Nugget, the Sharks, the guys in the know, they're ready. They open the windows and the lines are not quite Super Bowl deep, but they're deep. They only let you bet 1,100. Before, and you can do it five times, and then you have to go to the back of line, because if all of a sudden 15 guys come up and want to put $100,000 on Alabama in a game against Auburn, they've got to change the line and do that. Well, the teams that the pros hammered were Auburn and BYU.
Now, Auburn, what was their line, Doug? What was their?
Well, this is on individual games, not okay. The over-unders. And then they didn't like Boise State and Missouri. In fact, the BYU-Boise State line went from Boise State favored by 6 to favored by 1 yesterday. The Nebraska line went from favored by, let me make sure I get this right, by 6, and now Nebraska is favored by 3.5.
Over BYU.
Against BYU. I'm trying to put it as gently as I can, Husker fans. They might win, and they might win 10, 11 games this year.
We're talking about BYU.
No, Nebraska.
Oh.
But I'm saying the odds are against the Big Red of doing that. These guys are smart. They know what they're doing. And that should be a little flag up there for Husker Kool-Aid drinker. We'll talk more about that, but Jim Holton is set to join us in just a moment. We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth and be right back.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, The companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, partly to mostly sunny skies, as hot and high temperatures up to near 96. And then for tonight, a slight chance for a shower or storm with lows in the upper 60s. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now it's 84 degrees.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, due to Jim Langan, rolling along. Don't forget, last day of June, and that means June Madness continues on at the Chicken Coop, your sports bar and grill in Kearney. No one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop and May Madness and June Madness with any salad on the menu, $5.55. And of course, Tuesday is salad day anyway, but any salad on the menu, morning, noon, or night, just $5.55. Take advantage of that again today. They also offer the best television sports viewing with all of your favorite sports packages, ice cold beer, and if you need the party room to accommodate a large group, they offer that up for you as well. Talk to Colin and the gang and just enjoy a lunch on a warm day like this at the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill in Kearney. Well, we welcome in Jim Holton to the Doug and Daddy Show, and it's been a busy couple of weeks for Coach Holton. And Coach, first, I want to say thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy time, and you got a lot of irons in the fire. And as much as we're going to miss you, I think the first thing is to say congratulations. You've been able to find a job to stay closer to the family and move on. So first, congratulations.
Well, thanks very much, guys. Obviously, very difficult decision and a whole soap opera of events that kind of took place in the last 48 to 72 hours. But unfortunately, my time in Kearney has come to an end.
Jim, I have been able to go through a variety of different press releases from your new team there in Canada at Charlottetown. The Storm has already announced that they have a new head coach this morning. No press conference or anything that he's in town. We're still working through that. That just happened in the last hour. And then there was a line in the story online from the Kearney Hub, and Connor O'Gara does a great job there. But it said contract negotiations broke down after you got back from Vegas. We talked to you last week. What is it? Is that true? What happened here in the last week since we spoke?
Yeah, after we spoke, I thought we were in negotiations, and I guess the best way to summarize it is I thought we were inches apart, and they thought we were miles apart. I thought we were close. You know, I think they'd already started down the process of hiring a replacement. I think there was some miscommunication. I don't place any blame. It was probably equally my fault as it was Kirk's, but I think there was assumptions that I was moving on, and that wasn't necessarily the case. Probably looked to a lot of people that I was dragging my feet waiting for another opportunity. That wasn't the situation. This is a big decision for myself and my family, the magnitude of which I didn't want to rush into. And I could have easily done the not-so-upfront thing and signed the contract in Vegas. And then when this came along, said, okay, see you later. But I believe in integrity. I pride myself on having some integrity, and I don't like to operate in that manner. So I wanted to take my time and make sure that every one of us was 100% on board to make the move so that everybody's mind was in the right place. And all along, I was, I guess, working under the assumption that we would work off of a deadline if need be. There wasn't one ever imposed. So I was caught a little off guard when I had a conversation with Mr. Brooks Sunday night. I thought we were going to hammer it out. I didn't think we were very far apart. But it was obvious at that point that they'd already hired somebody.
Did you already, I mean, obviously you had interviewed during this process, maybe with more than Charlottetown, and that is always a tricky situation. You've been up front the whole year. You've had it on the table saying, you know what, this is not a hockey decision as much as it is a family decision. And if you found something close to home that was equal or better, that was going to work better for you and your family, can you take us through the process as much as you're willing to do?
There was a couple interview opportunities closer to that the Storm were aware of and with their blessing. So I agree. It's a tenuous situation when, in fairness to them, they don't want to be left out in the cold with no coach should something come up, because we'd had the agreement all along. I just thought we were working off a little bit different timetable than what it was. I mean, I think they started to talk to some candidates as a plan B if it didn't work out, and it quickly jumped ahead probably on their end, and I wasn't quite aware of how it was going. But by the same token, I can't sit here and force blame, because as I said, I could have signed a contract a week and a half ago and then just let the chips fall where they may be at a later date. So nothing terrible that had went on. It just, I think miscommunication is the best word. I don't think any ill intent on either side.
Yeah, Coach Holton, you know, it's not like you were here for 15 years. You know what I mean? And you know, everybody's buying into the personality that you have and everything. I thought you did a tremendous job. But because it was just a one-year thing, unfortunately for the Tri-City Storm, they didn't sit down and say, hold it, let's give you 2 weeks, 3 weeks, let's give you a time frame here. We're still going to be looking for a coach in case you get a job, but you have until this date to sign this, and then we can work out whether it's a 2-year contract, 3-year contract, or if it's more money or whatever it needs to be. You know, both sides can negotiate that. That I understand. To me, it seems to me that you were surprised that the timetable wasn't correct, that you didn't have a little more time. There was another week. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct. And I think that's where it fell apart. And we're probably both sides are equally guilty of not saying, hey, okay, by July 1st, you'll have an answer, or I have to have an answer by such and such a date. And I think there was just assumptions probably made. I assumed I had that time. They assumed, because I wasn't signing it, I was leaving. So it's a classic case of miscommunication. And whenever there's miscommunication, there's 50-50 blame.
We're talking with Jim Holton, the former head coach of the Tri-City Storm. Took him to the Western Conference Final, the USHL General Manager of the Year. He's been named the new head coach at the Charlottetown Islanders, and we'll get into what that's all about and familiarize ourselves with that a little bit. So, Jim, just to put this aside, and you can kind of say whatever you want here about Carney and your time here, are we to understand that your option now, you were... The new coach was hired before you took the job at Charlottetown?
That's my understanding. Now, I don't have that. Obviously, they just announced him this morning, so there's gray area there as to when. My deal with Charlottetown didn't get worked out until yesterday afternoon. It was a very quick process. After I had a conversation with Kirk Brooks Sunday night when we realized that it wasn't going forward. So I had a conversation with Charlottetown a while ago, but had been putting them off. Again, it's a crazy game of chicken around this time of year, and sometimes to a fault, I guess. But fortunately for me, I was able to stay on the list. They knew that I was... theirs was a little bit different because, there was a timeline that I knew about, and it was going to be towards the end of this week. So I knew I had to get an answer to them. But it wasn't as though I wasn't trying to play both sides against the middle. It was just a situation where it had to be comfortable for everybody, and I think the sad part is we've got our mind around moving full-time to Kearney, but you know what, we're all big boys in this, and it looks like we've all bounced back. I mean, the Storm have a good man in Billy McCault coming in. Fortunately, I'm heading into a good situation for everyone in Charlottetown.
What do you know about the new coach?
I don't know a lot. I just got to know Bill a little bit over the last year and a half. The obvious is that he has pro experience from playing and has been in pretty good program that's made some strides in Michigan Tech. So I think he's very familiar. I think one of the big keys to have success in the USHL is to have those ties at the NCAA level. It helps in terms of your drafting and getting some of your players. And my impression is that he's a good person, good man. So he should be a good fit for the Storm and for the town of Kearney.
Tell us about Charlottetown Islanders, Quebec Major Junior Hockey. I don't know anything about that. What kind of level is that? What kind of job are you taking over?
Well, it's the highest level. It's equivalent of the OHL and the Western Hockey League. It falls under the umbrella of the Canadian Hockey League and basically just divides our country in three is how it works. So this is the eastern part of the country. It's not exactly next door. It will require a move for a family, but it's in terms of familiarity. It's still obviously the country we grew up in, so our health care, a lot of these things, schooling system, that all stays the same. There is some familiarity in the fact that one of my ex-players is an assistant coach. I know a number of people that have grown up in Prince Edward Island, which is the province, which is obviously the equivalent of a state where Charlottetown is located. They do have a very good team. From all reports, they have one of the best goaltenders in Canadian Junior. They had two kids drafted in the top of the second round in Saturday's NHL draft. So, but to me, more than that, it was just a fit. When I spoke with their people, it felt good. It felt like a natural fit. And I think when you've been around for a while, no matter what job you're in, you learn to trust your gut instinct.
Well, Coach Holt, I'm going to tell you, what you did in 1 year time frame here in Kearney will be remembered. I'll tell you that right now. And the class that you show, even the class you're showing today, I mean, you're going, it's 50-50 on this deal. And I kind of understand how this works in hiring and firing. When you offer somebody a job, and they haven't taken, and they're not even in your building yet, that's one thing. But you had 1 year, you had a lot of success. I wish they'd have given you a little more time and really have given you an opportunity and say, hey, you know what, you deserve an extra week or you deserve an extra 10 days. I'm just going to come flat out and say that over the air, that I think that you deserve that, and I'm sorry we didn't give that to you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I guess the part for me is just it's disappointment now, and it kind of ends on the note that I didn't want it to end on, but we're all big boys in sports. The reason we're in sports is we realize that life's not fair and neither is sports. So it's not about that. And as I said, I can't sit here and point the finger of blame because the contract had been in front of me for a while. So the simple solution would have been to sign it. So, you know what, now it's no sense being bitter. Life's too short to harbor any resentment towards any situation. And I just, I have to be forever grateful to Kirk and the Storm for getting me the opportunity to get back into doing what I love, and that's coaching hockey at a junior level, and gave myself and my family an absolutely incredible experience. The people of Kearney were second to none in my books, treated us like gold right from day one, and we'll have lifelong memories of our short stay there. And, you know, I was glad that we were able to have some success on the ice, but really that was a byproduct of the people around us.
Jim Holton, last minute, a couple things about the Storm team. You were in Florida for the draft last weekend. Chris Welke, Mason Appleton, both selected, going to two totally different parts of the NHL universe. But your thoughts about being down there and their future?
Well, first of all, it's always nice. It's a recognition of your team success when the individuals get rewarded. And both Chris and Mason were very deserving of it. And I was hopeful that we would add a couple more. I thought Torrey Dello had a chance. I thought Matt Freitag had a chance. But it's always a bit of a crapshoot in the draft. But those two in particular really deserved it. Really, really proud of Wilkie. And this is a kid who fought adversity and had a lot of negatives thrown his way. He didn't get drafted a year ago. But he just put all those distractions out of mind and went out and had one hell of a hockey season and got rewarded for it. I've already had a couple reports from Florida's development camp about how good he's looking on the ice. They've got them out there already today. And then Mason, I knew Winnipeg had been a big fan of Mason's all season, so he and his parents were down there, so it was nice to be able to celebrate that little moment. Those are special moments for parents, players, and coaches alike, so it was pretty neat to be a part of that.
And finally, the key to the Storm being able to continue the success that's been built here over the last two or three years, what would you say if you had to pick one or two things?
Well, to me, it's a bit culture and expectations, and I think we took a step in the right direction, but there's many steps to be made. We were all hopeful that it's not just a one-off thing. I think there's enough talent there, and hopefully the residue of, when I talk about culture, it's like anything. It's about the expectations. When you come into the Storm, you're expected to compete for a championship, not just sneak into the playoffs and celebrate having a, you know, I thought we had a good year. I didn't think we had a great year. but the expectations surrounding the team were very, very low. And I think internally we have to raise those expectations and get them to a level that we can compete for championships.
Well, Jim,
you can see it's not that easy to cut the cord because I keep saying we.
Well, hey, and we'll probably say that as well. And as I said, you know, we've had a great relationship with all the coaches that have been part of the Storm, and it's always fun on a personal level to chat with you guys. So hopefully we'll do it again in the future. We kind of know what goals are, and hopefully this is another stepping stone to an even bigger job for you in the future. So, again, from all of us here in Kearney, Doug and Daddy Show, and, of course, the crew, since we carry the Storm on the breeze, always appreciate your time. And we wish you nothing but the best, Coach. Thanks for chatting with us today.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure, and wish you nothing but continued success as well.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Holton from his home up in Canada. He has been named the new head coach of the Charlottetown Islanders. And I guess say what you will, we will have to get the other side of the story. I mean, we've got the story. Now we'll just have to see. And it's...
Yeah, I think that's
it's
fair.
It's unfortunate, but yeah. I can see... I mean, and Jim knew, because we talked about it last week, I am acting as the head coach of the Storm until I'm not the head coach of the Storm, and he's no longer the head coach of the Storm. Kirk Brooks is a very good businessman. I mean, he always has his finger on what's next, and he knew, probably for the betterment of his team, he couldn't get caught with his shorts down or an empty net. Maybe that's the way you should look at it with a hockey analogy.
Yeah.
and went and got a new coach. And hopefully we'll talk with the new head coach in Bill Muckcald here over the next day or two on the show.
Right. And, you know, and I think that's fair. I think it's definitely fair. We have to hear both sides of the story. I'm just telling you flat out right now that the success that he had in turning the program around for in 1 year period, and the man being from Canada. I mean, it wasn't like he lived in Kearney for 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he lived in Canada. There's some, you know, there's some, he's got a family. He's got, you know, that he has to decide, hey, are we going to move to Kearney, Nebraska or not? And boy, this is right now, let me see my options a little bit. You know, and do I have some more time to decide this? Because if not, because I don't think this was a thing about money. I don't think it was a thing, you know, I don't think the miles apart thing was just about the timing solution. But I guess maybe, I don't know that much about it. Maybe there was only one really good coach out there that they could grab right now. You know, and they had to, and this guy needed to know because maybe he had an offer someplace else and said, hey, I have to know by July 1st.
Yeah.
That is my timeline. And if that other coach's timeline was, hey, I have to know by July 1st, and so, you know, that's how long he has, that I'll take this job today, but I can't take it July 2nd. You know, so we have to know the other side of the story.
Yeah, and so the split is not clean. We can, I think, all agree on that, but both will move on, and hopefully both will have more success. Also from Wimbledon today, Jack Sock. Yeah, you hate to see that happen. I mean, he lost today. As we mentioned, the same Australian that he played in doubles yesterday and beat, he lost to today in four sets, 6-3, 3-6, 6-3, 6-3. First time he'd ever been seeded in a major. The Lincoln native knocked out of Wimbledon when he had a chance to play a couple matches and possibly face Roger Federer in the third round. We'll take a break, talk a little six-man football, talk a little soccer, talk a little college football betting lines, more here with Jimmy Langan on that as well, and we'll feed you in on a few of those. A little Legion baseball. There's some important games tonight in the Tri-Cities. We've still got it all coming on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Back in time, a caveman, his name was Ugg, got tired of gathering nuts and berries, decided that meat was a neat treat.
But mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Ugg now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat. All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply, west off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity, a short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Make your summer concert plans now and buy your tickets today to the Adams County Fair in Hastings. This summer's Adams County Fair Fest concert series will take place July 15th through the 18th. Check out this unbelievable lineup. Legendary Lone Star, Colts Wendell, Harmaly, and Granger Smith. Now that's a lot of talent for one fair. Call today and get your Adams County Fair Fest tickets at 402-462-3247. That's 402-462-3247.
I call Kearney Crete & Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Show your strengths at the Hastings Wide Bench Press and Deadlift Competition on Saturday, July 11th. Weight classes range from 97 to 275. Registration is $15 for bench press only, $15 for deadlift only, and $30 for both. The event schedule begins with a 7 a.m. check-in and weigh-in. Lifting begins at 8. Admission is $3 for adults and $2 ages 15 to 17. Awards will be given to the top lifters. For more information, contact the Hastings Y at 463-3139.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. They're changing the Home Run Derby format. We asked you yesterday, how do you feel about it? Just 5 minutes, a little. It's a time deal and as opposed to just getting 10 outs. 46% of you were like me. Just let them hit home runs. 27% says, hey, Stanton is not in there, so I don't care. 18% says, stop changing it. 9% of you say, hey, yeah. Let's try something new here. Today at ESPNSuperstation.com, we ask you about Dwayne Wade, free agency in NBA. After declining his option to stay with the Miami Heat another year, what will Dwayne Wade decide to do this offseason? Re-sign with the Heat, sign with another team. It's going to take a monster offer. I say Dwayne Wade is back in a Heat uniform next year. What do you folks think? Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, our next guest knows a little basketball. He knows a little football, probably a few other things. And we welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Joe Imus. Most of the folks from around here, and he was the head coach of the Nebraska six-man team out in Wyoming, and he's at Riverside. And it's hard to keep up with Joe because they keep consolidating up there in that Spalding, Greeley, Cedar Rapids, St. Ed area. But a lot of folks know Joe probably more so from his basketball run with the Spalding Academy and playing some teams from our area at State. And Joe, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you this fine summer Tuesday?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think, Dwayne Wade? Going to go back to the Heat, or is he going to, you know, find somebody else to play with?
It's pretty tough to follow. I think he's probably going to be leaving.
Well, you got to experience a little time out in Wyoming. And first off, just for the folks out there, tell them a little bit about the game and how it's come together. I know we've got a few more six-man schools every year, it seems like, in Nebraska, but it's another one of those back and forths. One year here, one year there, but it's still pretty new.
Yeah, this year was the fourth year in the series with Wyoming. When they started, Wyoming just added six-man where it was just 11-man. So they went and created an all-star game with Nebraska. Going into this year, Nebraska, we were 0-3, so we had a shot at beating Wyoming until this year. And what they do is every other year alternates. This year we're in Wyoming, so Guernsey Sunrise won their state championship, so that's where it's at. And everyone's state championship in Nebraska next year, it'll be held in Nebraska.
as Silver Lake got the chance to host it a year ago because they were the state champions. And we'll talk about some of those individual kids in a moment. But the way you guys choose it, this is all-star time, whether it's Shrine Game, eight-man all-star game, or wrestling, volleyball, all of them are chosen about the same. Talk about the process and then what you did besides football as far as a timeline while you were out there.
The way we decided is the seniors who get all-state are automatically asked to play in the game. Then if we need a kid or two or somebody doesn't want to play in it, then we start dropping down into our honorable mention. And this year we were fortunate enough with 18 teams that we got the 18 kids that we wanted. And I know in years past where there weren't as many 16 teams, they kind of had to start just getting seniors who didn't even get postseason awards. And they're in Wyoming, and it sounds like it's kind of a thing everybody has who hosts the game because we're all small-town schools. That's why we're playing six-man. But every night they did a good job out there and had something going on for the kids. The first night we were out there last Wednesday, they had a water park that was open, and it's just the football players from Nebraska and Wyoming out there. And the next two nights they went to Wheatland, which is about 30 miles from Guernsey, and they went bowling one night and watched the movie the second night.
Joe Imus with us here, a Riverside football coach, also state champions as they beat Spalding Academy in an exciting game for the six-man title that's held here in Kearney. Let's talk about some of the kids. We'll start with this one, Coach, because this comes via the Dent Popper inbox from Doug in Kearney. He wants to know how Colin Martinson did in that ball game.
Colin did really well. He was the defensive MVP of the game, so he was pretty relentless, and he played fearless. And just 2 weeks before that, he played in the Northeast Nebraska All-Star Game, which is the first time he had ever played 11-man football, and he was playing up in an area with a lot of good football teams. So he had been used to playing high competition. He did a really good job in it.
Well, of course, there might have been a little family tie there, too, with that last question. But offensively, and talk about Siler Monroe from Silver Lake, Dalton Penny from Wilcox Hildreth. Those were the two kids on the team that were right from our backyard.
Siler Monroe, he actually was the offensive MVP of the game, and he had right around 100 yards rushing and another receiving touchdown. He did a pretty good job, and him and Nathan Woodrum from Sioux County, they were in our backfield, and they were a pretty good 1-2 punch. I know when we played each of them, we had a difficult time stopping those guys as individuals, and you turn them up. I mean, they were a pretty dynamic duo. And Dalton Penny, we had him playing on the defensive side of the ball for us, and he did an excellent job. He was playing a corner. Then towards the end of the game, when Guernsey was spreading out a little bit, we moved him to a defensive end, and he had a huge sack that kind of sealed the game for us. So both of those guys, they really stood out for the Nebraska team.
Yeah, Coach, were there any kids from the Wyoming that caught your eye that are going to a big-time program or anything like that that you were playing against? And tell us a little bit about how the game went quarter by quarter, the final score, et cetera.
You know, there were a couple kids from Wyoming. We didn't know a whole lot of any of their kids. I guess the only thing we could really do is search the internet, YouTube and whatnot, and see if they had any film. And the Guernsey kids, they really stood out to us. They had a couple backs that were big, fast, and they could break tackles. And they were a huge concern into the game for us. And it turns out their two stud backs combined for negative 52 yards rushing. So that kind of speaks volumes for our defense. And with the game, we started off our first possession. We scored a touchdown. We got up and missed PAT, so we were up 6-0. Then next time we got the ball and we got inside the five and we fumbled and we kind of went away from our running game and started passing for the rest of the first half. And in the meantime, Wyoming, they scored their first touchdown right before half. They did a little end around with the quarterback as a trick play on about 4th and 15. And we had it covered and we kind of let off of it and gave up their only touchdown. And one thing we did that was unique compared to years past is we just designated 9 guys you're going to play defense, 9 guys you're going to play offense. And in the past, Wyoming and Nebraska teams, they just had always played their top 6 on offense, top 6 on defense. So when we're out there and it's mid-90s, in the second half, we kind of took complete control because our kids were fresh. And when they changed possessions, the Wyoming kids, there'd be 1 or 2 kids that would come on and off the field, and 4 or 5 of them would just stay on the field the entire time. Then there in the second half, our kids, we were fresh. Wyoming kids They were grabbing their knees, and you could tell that the game was getting ready to get away from them.
Joe, on a statewide deal, we talk about this pretty much every year when we talk six-man, and kind of a two-part question because Jimmy touched on it. It's really hard for a six-man kid to get a big-time 11-man college football offer, but because of consolidation, we're seeing some sixes go back to eights because of just the way it is with the smaller schools. We're actually seeing more six-mans. How's the association? How many teams does it look like will be playing six-man for Nebraska next year?
Well, next year it'll be six because it'll be the second year of the two-year cycle, but we'll have 17 next year. Maywood and Hayes Center, they were both six-man teams, and they're going to be co-op, so they're we'll take one team out, but it sounds like the following cycle there might be 6 to 8 more teams that are coming in, which for the six-man teams, that's good to see. I know Juanita Pell said they're going to be going back up to 8-man, so it just bounces back and forth. And, small schools are not getting any bigger, so I'd expect right here in a couple of years we'll see mid-20, maybe even 30 six-man teams.
Joe, does your coaches association approach the NSAA? Does the NSAA approach your coaches association? Because at some point, if you get enough teams again, they'll probably take over sponsoring the sport. Is that in talks? I know that seems to be in talks every year. Is it still?
The way it sounds like is there's no intent of it to happen anytime soon. The six-man association, they work pretty well with the NSAA. We just get to govern ourselves, but they still have the rules that apply to us. But as far as it being sanctioned by the NSAA, I haven't heard too much of it. I guess it's probably just a year-to-year thing and see how big six-man grows.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Great year for you and your program. And, you know, as I kid all my friends up there, they've got so many different T-shirts and sweatshirts and different colors. Your wardrobe has to be pretty diverse by now.
Well, like I talked earlier about Colin Martin, he was a Tiger his freshman year, a Maverick his sophomore and junior year, and a Chargers senior year. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little hard following up with all the mascots, but hopefully they can stay for quite a while.
You ever learned anything from Randy Geyer?
I learned a lot of what not to do.
How about Jeff Schwartz?
Yeah, he teaches me how to golf. I'm not a very good golfer. That's the one thing he helps me out with. Outside of that, no.
Well, a lot of great connections from around here. Joe, great to talk with you on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy the rest of your summer, okay? Congrats on the win.
All right, great, guys.
Take care.
Joe Imus. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Joe Imus joins us here. He's Riverside football, basketball coach, and a lot of connections with, obviously, people we also know around here. That's kind of that just means we're old. That's all that means, Jimmy.
Is that what it is?
Connections, yeah.
All right.
Let's face it. We've lived here a long time.
That's right. I probably, unfortunately.
You know, this is the day. We've been telling you a long time, but this is the day TNL is going to prove again for you. It is going to be sweltering out there. The corn's starting to get to where it needs to get to that next level, maturing. That knee-high by the 4th of July, sometimes that's just a big old myth. Usually it's over your head, but we'll see if that's the case here. They're going to have to hustle up. But one of the reasons that your corn will grow is the very excellent job that TNL hydrostatic pivot systems do in your field. Of course, there's no stop starting, no spoking. It's going to evenly cover your field. And with the GPS navigation system, whether it's on your TNL pivot system or your new corner system, you can operate that from wherever you're at. It's the 4th of July holiday. You don't want to be tracking down chores 12 hours a day on the farm. You can be at a picnic, you can be at a parade, you can be on the lake. And as long as you got your GPS, you can start and stop it. You can change the directions. You can do whatever you need to make sure the proper water is falling on your field. Contact your local TNL dealer, including Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, or go online to TLIRR.com. TNL, like no other. And we'll be back, talk a little soccer, talk a little college football lines after this.
Horizon Recovery and Counseling Center presents the 6th annual Recovery in the Park celebration on Friday, July 10th. There'll be a free barbecue with hamburgers and hot dogs at 6 p.m. at Brickyard Park in Hastings. Enjoy barbecue, free ice cream, cotton candy, popcorn, and face painting, and a free concert by the Going Home Blues Band. Free will donations are appreciated. For more information, call 462-2066 or log on to reviveinc.org. Revive Ministries hopes to see you at Brickyard Park Friday, July 10th for a great time of food and fellowship.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com. The State Games of America are coming to Nebraska July 28th through August 2nd with 67 sports for athletes of all ages and abilities from across the U.S., spectacular opening ceremonies at Memorial Stadium, and two nights of entertainment at Pinnacle Bank Arena. The State Games of America is a can't-miss event for all Nebraskans. Register at NebraskaSportsCouncil.com. The Nebraska National Guard is a proud sponsor of the State Games of America. Text Guard Games to 95577 to start your Guard moment today.
Choose Papa Lion's Discount Fireworks when you want a real family-owned local fireworks source. You'll find pre-made family assortments or have Michelle create a custom assortment just for you. Large selections of those big 500-gram finale cakes are sure to be a showstopper. Papa Lion's also has 2- and 3-inch shells and 9-shot racks, the largest legal shells you'll find in Nebraska. Like them on Facebook for news and videos. Papa Lion's Discount Fireworks in Hastings, Superior, Kennesaw, Bay Center, Juniata, and Blue Hill.
This could be the last night.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Midway Auto Dealer Group broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Proud sponsors of the Buffalo County Fair and proud to take care of all of their customers. Whether you're a repeat customer or brand new, you're new to the area, or you're saying, I keep hearing you guys talk about Midway. I keep seeing Midway down the street. I keep seeing the smiling faces when everybody's driving their Midway automobile, whether it's new or pre-owned. Stop by and see them today. Or you, can check things out online, thinkmidway.com. It's a great way to say, hey, there's about three or four vehicles. I like these three or four. Instead of, you know, let's face it, walking around the lot, here comes the salesman, you don't know what you want, and they're trying to help you. You go in a little bit more confident, and that's exactly what Midway wants from you. They know, they're smart, they're on top of everything, whether it comes to the sales staff or repairing any vehicle that you have, whether they've sold it or not. The Midway team continues to get spruced up on the very latest. And so stop by, see the folks at Midway. GMC, June's rolling down. Still get that 0% APR for 5 years with approved credit on GMC Sierras, GMC Cadillac in Kearney. Acadia has some great deals as well from the manufacturer. Stop by and see them today at Midway Auto Group. Well, what do you think? This whole I'm going to get into this football thing with you real briefly, Jimmy. So I want you to study a little bit. I'm going to give you the lines if you want to look at those at all.
You got some reading glasses? You got any reading glasses?
I thought we stored some around here.
Yeah, we're going to have to need those first.
Okay, darn it. I'm sorry. But first,
I can get them.
This is what you said.
My arm's just far enough away and the lights are good enough. I think I can get it.
See, that's why soccer's a good sport for you. It's a big field. There's only one ball. You can kind of keep an eye on it. Scott Steinbrick, this is where you said you're not much of the soccer guy. I'm not either. So I'm going to let Scott tell us what's going on. Steinbrick is joining us here, the head Kearney coach, who was up in Canada and saw the thrilling 0-0 game. Scott, good morning, man.
Somehow I was waiting for that final score to come up. You know, for a second there, I thought you guys were going like kind of English soccer hipster there. You were talking about football. I thought we were going to use the European term here. You were actually going to call it football.
No.
Then I realized we're still talking about some college football or some NFL stuff. But good to talk to you guys.
Well, you got a chance to go up to Canada and watch the women's game this year. You, of course, went to the World Cup last year, and we got to talk about that cool experience. But let's just break it straight down. Tonight's game, Germany, United States, everybody's making it out against the U.S.'s defense, the Germans' offense. The United States can't win this game 1-0 tonight, correct?
Well, I think, you know, the experts are right, though, when they say, you know, U.S. has been a little bit, I don't know if inept is too strong of a word, but we've not exactly been dynamite offensively, but we have been tremendous defensively, and Germany has kind of been the opposite. They've been pretty powerful on offense. But no, I agree with you. You know, a 1-0 score, that's you know, if it's 1-0, that probably isn't going to favor the Americans, because, you know, I don't know if we can keep that that German attack under wraps for the full 90 minutes. So I think, you know, the casual soccer fan, if they watched the China game, maybe saw a little bit more creativity from the Americans and maybe a little bit more offensive-minded play. So I think that's going to have to continue if we want to get by this one against Germany tonight.
You didn't have as much time to spend in Canada as you did for the men last year. So can you kind of compare and contrast the atmospheres and the interest in the men's game versus the women's game?
Well, I think from, you know, I saw a stat where like 99% of the tickets to the Women's World Cup, you know, were sold to Canadians and to Americans. So I think it helped the fact that the Americans have made it all the way to the semifinals. I was really rooting for Canada the other day, because if you watch any of the games on TV, anytime it was the Canadians playing or it was the Americans playing, the stadiums were full. But if you watched some of the other games, what you saw was a stadium that maybe could host 50 or 60,000 people and maybe struggle to get 10 or 20,000 there. So I think that's one of the big differences there, you know, is the European and the South American fan bases didn't travel to Canada, whereas when the World Cup is played in South America or played in Europe, you know, the fan bases from everybody, whether it's Africa, Asia, it doesn't matter, those fan bases still travel, and there's just enough general interest in the game. So I think it's been good to see, you know, our neighbors to the north as well as our team advance, because it's kept the crowds engaged. The game we were at, we played Sweden, like you said, it was 0-0, you know, but it was still a sold-out crowd. There was 50,000 people there. It was a great atmosphere. The game could have used a goal or two. I'm not enough of a soccer snob to say that wouldn't have helped things. So it was disappointing to see a 0-0 tie, but still it was an awful great experience, you know, seeing the U.S. women play in a World Cup game.
Hey, Coach, Jim Langan here. Question I got for you is, every once in a while I'll watch a soccer game, and it is 0-0. It doesn't matter to me if it was 0-0 or 1-1. I know it does to a lot of other people. But what I think's interesting is both teams are content for about a 10-minute period there, and it's usually from about, oh, maybe 20 minutes to go to 10 in the first half, where they're content with one team just kicking the ball around and the defense doesn't really move much. It reminds me of in basketball, if, you know, you're holding the ball and the other team says, you know what, we're just going to play a 2-1-2 zone and we're not going to put any pressure on it because we know if we're going to come out, we might generate something for you. That's the one thing I kind of wonder. Why are they doing it? Why is it a 10-minute period, though? I can understand maybe for 2 minutes to get your legs fresh, but why do they do it for a 10-minute period? Explain that to me, or am I completely off base?
No, I think that's a pretty good observation, actually. And I think, you know, in as short of answer as I can give you, has been there's been some really successful coaches at the highest level, World Cup, European Championships, club soccer, things like that, you know, that have started to adopt this kind of bunkered in defensive style. And then, you know, you just kind of sit back defensively, let the other team possess the ball around a little bit and just not let them ever kind of penetrate that defensive third and just play a very counter-attacking style of soccer. And, you know, soccer purists are very critical of that style of play, you know, because, you know, it's not an open game. There's not a lot of goal-scoring chances. But either fortunately or unfortunately, there's been some teams that have won, you know, some English Premier Championships and Champions League Championships kind of playing that style. Be perfectly honest, to put this in kind of a local perspective, if we're playing Millard West in a state soccer game, they're probably going to be more talented and more technical than we are. So we're kind of going to employ those same tactics where we're going to play a defensive style and maybe try to get a counterattack goal here and there, you know, but to maybe a casual observer, it would come across as, you know, just one team dominating possession and the other team sitting back and playing defense. So it's a soccer problem, it's a strategy, it's all of the above. But sometimes it does lead to periods, like you said, where it doesn't seem like there's a lot of action going on.
Scott Steinbrück, we'll wrap it up with this. What happens in the rest of this Women's World Cup?
Well, I think, you know, obviously I would love to see the U.S. in Japan play in a rematch of the 2011 World Cup final that Japan beat us on penalty kicks. So I kind of said that going into the tournament, and the way the bracket has worked out, you know, I'm still going to say that's my prediction. I think if we can beat Germany, we can win the World Cup. But beating Germany tonight is a tall task. But I'm optimistic, and I think that we still have a great chance to win the whole thing, which would be great for the sport. It would be great for women's sports and just the casual soccer fans out there to see the U.S. you know, take that next step.
All right, what are you wearing tonight to support your United States team?
Well, I'll probably wear an American Outlaw shirt, maybe a scarf or two, you know, maybe a fun USA bandana or hat. I don't know. You know, our little group here likes to get decked out. It's perfect timing. 4th of July, week coming up here, USA soccer. It's really kind of caught on here in town. It's been fun.
Scotty, thanks for your insight, because I don't know nothing about it.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
See you, buddy. Scott Steinberg joins us here. Talk a little World Cup. American Legion Baseball tonight to Kearney Five Points and Little Caesars, scheduled to host York for Hastings. They will be at Lexington. For Grand Island, USAVE and Dinsdale will be at Central City. You've got Five Points hosting North Platte, and big games for Home Federal at North Platte. And if they win a couple, then that means, once again, it would be a Grand Island, Home Federal, and Kearney runs a plan for the league title, Jimmy.
Yep, that's the situation we're in right now.
And Jimmy is still checking a couple things out over there. The golf notebook to tell you about today. Nebraska senior match play qualifying starts today. Then they'll have the brackets over the next couple of days at Arbor Links in Nebraska City. Grand Island's Alan Bolts was the runner-up to Mike Crumland of Columbus last year, and they played that at Riverside in Grand Island. And then the women's match play will be held next week. Can Danielle Lemick do it again? She seems to take just about every women's golf title out there right now. Well, Jimmy, you see anything you like on some of those? What they did, they picked 166, I think, were the games. These are the big conference games and some of the non-conference games that you would actually like to watch and might be close. You see anything on there?
Well, the main thing I see is the big players look at Boise State and as not being as good as they have been in the past. That's a huge one. They think BYU and Auburn are going to be a little bit better. So those are the three things I think. But I would not, with the Nebraska people that like to bet on Nebraska, I wouldn't let who was it that you said was that said he would?
Colin Cowherd on Nationals.
Yeah, he knows a lot about football, but he's never really been a big Nebraska fan lately. He thought USC would roll. I remember in the bowl game, oh, USC, that is by far the best bet. That is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he was wrong about that. So if you'd have listened to him, you'd have lost a lot of money betting USC in the bowl game. When you watch the game, the two teams play, and it was a pretty even football game. It could have gone about either way on Nebraska and USC in that bowl game. So I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't get too excited, but I always thought BYU, if Nebraska's favored by 7 or Michigan is favored by any high number this year, Michigan or Nebraska, I just don't think they're going to score as many points as they have in the past. I don't think you want to count on Nebraska and Michigan being one of those teams that's going to be able to cover a big, high point spread. And I'm talking anything over 13, 14 points. So I look at, in the Big Ten, I just think Michigan and Nebraska will not be that productive on offense. I think defensively, if they're underdogs, they can play with about anybody. You know, I'll give you that. When they play Ohio State, Michigan plays Ohio State, the spread could be 15, 16, 17 in that number, maybe even up to 20. I would not be afraid to take Michigan any game like that. I just don't think they can score. I think their defense will have to do a lot for them.
They say the Vegas boys said they intentionally set the Ohio State lines higher than they should be, is kind of how they set it. That's not those exact terms, to make people bet the other way. And they did a little bit. The Michigan line went from 16 to 13, but the Virginia Tech line, they play them again this year, stayed where it was. That was the Ohio State loss last year, of course.
Yeah. You know, there's a difference when you're betting on an Oregon, because Oregon can score such a tremendous amount. I mean, they can score 77 points, and it's not hard to cover a 28-point spread when you're scoring 77. But it is if you're only getting 35. It's a little harder to cover that 28-point spread.
One other note, I want to just give a shout-out. We talked about this when the news came out, but when we go to July 1st, Jimmy, there's the fiscal year, and some of those we're starting to look to next year. There's a lot of contracts, and when we were talking about Coach Holton, there's a lot of things that June 30th, oh, like Rhonda Blanford Green. This would be her last day at the NSAA, whether she's at the office or not officially, that's it. This is Hugh Miner's last day at Fauner Park. The CEO announced his retirement earlier this spring. We talked about it during horse racing season, but we was reminded of that today. So he'd been with Fauner for 45 years, not all as the CEO, but he's been there for 45 years. So we'll see him move along.
45 years. I'll bet you on July 1st he doesn't go visit Fauner Park. Just, what are you going to do on your day? I think I'll go back there and just see how things are
going.
Catch
the simulcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
See what's up. Have a little lunch. Where are you going to lunch? Finish Line Cafe.
Yeah, there you
Come
go.
Come on. Again, Jack Sock beaten today in the first round of Wimbledon in singles. Bo Ryan leaving Wisconsin as their men's basketball coach. You've been heard about that. The Royals are down to 5 starters in the All-Star game. The balloting ends Thursday night, a minute before midnight Eastern time, so you have until 10:59 Thursday night to vote for the All-Stars. Right now, the Royals, Salvador Perez, Omar Infante, Alcides Escobar, Lorenzo Cain, and Alex Gordon would be starting. This week, Mike Moustakas at third base, and designated hitter Kendrys Morales slid to second. Eric Hosmer is still second at first base. And it's at the point now, Jimmy, if 5 Royals start, none of those other guys are going to get selected because there's already 5 Royals. So if you're a big Royals fan, there is the urgency. Now it's time to go vote again.
What's really bizarre about this is Ned Yost is the manager, correct? Because
yeah.
They won it. I mean, Ned Yost gets to be the manager. Yeah. And expect some boos when they announce the starters. If there's too many Royals out there,
but
they're all going to...
it's in Cincinnati.
Yeah,
you
but
think National League Park?
I didn't say it was going to be horrendous amount of boos, but you expect some. They'll boo that, you know, if you have 7 starters.
You know what I'd do?
What's that, clap?
If I was one of the Royals, and as I trotted out there, I got booed, I'd just go to my ring finger. Even if there's no ring on it,
yeah.
I just kind of... act like there was, you know, kind of shifting around, going, huh, where's yours?
Well, they're just going to smile because they probably know it might be coming. But, you know, one thing interesting, too, is what are you going to do about the pitching? Because Ned Yost has to pick so many guys from every team. Okay, and you know as well as I do, Wade Davis really deserves
Greg
to be in
Holland.
The All-Star game. And Greg Holland, too. But Wade Davis probably has got the lowest ERA over the last – since July 1st to June 30th,
yeah.
You know, his ERA is by far the least amount, and no one wants to bat against him.
No doubt about it. That's going to wrap up our show today. Had a lot to cover on a lot of different topics, and our show filling in for tomorrow. I think Tino Martinez, Grand Island Home Federal, is going to join us tomorrow on the show. He's been at basketball camp. They've got big games, as we said, tonight at North Platte, but they still have more going on this week, plus the Mike Peterson tournament. They're playing good baseball. And we will talk to the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Bill Muckholt, tomorrow. Named this morning, just before the Doug and Daddy show, they announced that Bill Muckholt, who played 5 years in the NHL, had played at Michigan, has a couple of titles, was a Hobey Baker finalist, and most recently was at Michigan Tech, is the new head coach, as Jim Holton did not sign his contract and is now on to Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And we want to thank Coach Holton for joining us today, as well as Joe Imus, Riverside, to talk Nebraska six-man football, and to Scott Steinbrook. Jimmy, we'll see you later this week, okay?
Yep, see you later, Doug.
All right, see you, boy.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.